Welcome to today's Mom Mentor episode, where we learn from other Christian moms who encourage us to become like Christ and share Him with others, particularly with our families. To participate in the conversation, join us live in the Facebook group on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Christy Thomas. Now, on to our interview. Welcome, Hope Grown Faith, to another Monday Mentor. Today we have with us Rhonda Stopp. Or is it Stoppy?
Stoppy.
Stoppy. Okay. Rhonda Stoppy. Excellent. From No Regrets Women. And I'm really excited to have her. She's got some really great material on her website and just a really great heart. So thanks for joining us today, Rhonda. And I'm going to get you just to introduce yourself and your family to us.
I'm happy to be with you in beautiful Canada. I was actually in Canada. I did an interview with 100 Huntley Street. So I was there, and I also did with A Better Us TV for marriage mentoring. So I was just there not long ago in January, I guess. It was super cold. So I'm from California. Mm-hmm. So winter here does not look like winter in Canada.
Lucky you.
So my name is Rhonda Stoppy, and I am the No Regrets Woman. I help women break free from regrets that hold them back and build no regrets lives. That is my sweet spot. That's what I do. I've been a marriage mentor, a mommy mentor, a woman's mentor for 30 years. My husband is a pastor. He's been a pastor at First Baptist Church of Patterson in California for the last 20 years. He was a youth pastor for 18 years, and we actually planted a church in Austin, Texas, which was super cool season of our life. We lived on a lake, and it was a blast. And we were there for 6 years. That was awfully fun. We have four children. Our oldest son, Tony, did not come to our family until he was 15 years old. Actually, he was in one of our youth groups, and he came to the Lord and was in a troubled home, and just the Lord made us, it was irresistible to take him into our family. If you've been in youth ministry long enough, you know you always meet kids that need a family, but this was the one that God, and we just couldn't say no. And he's been such a blessing. In fact, he just turned 41 a couple days ago.
Wow.
And he's a fighter pilot in the Air Force and is married to a nurse practitioner, and they have two amazing kids. They're stationed in Hawaii, getting ready to retire from the Air Force, which is amazing. My daughter Meredith, whose house I am at right now, I am in my granddaughter's, that came off the wall. I'm in my granddaughter's bedroom. And I'm, because they have better Wi-Fi. We live in the mountains, and my Wi-Fi was acting up today. So I am in Karis's bedroom. She wanted to come in here and be with me for the interview so badly, and I almost said yes. Because she's going to be 10, and she is just this little grown-up. She's my best buddy. And Meredith is, she graduated from the Masters University. She's married to Jake, who graduated from Master's Seminary. They have three girls, Karis, Ivy, and Eliza. And then my son Brandon is a worship leader in Riverside, California. And he grew up playing worship music all of his life. We'll talk more about Brandon's story later. And actually, my son Brandon and Tony's stories are both in my book, Moms Raising Sons to Be Men. So it's fun to hear the whole story of how God did a work in their lives. And Brandon's married to his college sweetheart. Brandon has toured with Matthew West and some Casting Crowns and some other Christian bands, and now he's leading worship at a church in LA and loving it. And then my youngest daughter Kayla was our biggest, best surprise ever. And she is married to the sweetest man, Esteban. And actually, Steb is our college pastor at our church. And they have three girls. So we have 10 grandchildren, one on the way. And of all of them, there's only two boys, and the one on the way is a boy. So we have 11. So what does that make it? Eight girls and three boys. So that's lots of glitter and tutus and makeup. And once in a while, we get a pirate outfit out for the boys, but mostly the girls are just all about princess dress up. So my family's my favorite thing. Steve's my high school sweetheart. We've been married. We just celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary. And I'm going to tell you how old I am, because everybody tries to figure it out. I am 58 years old. So just get it out on the table, so you're not trying to do the math when we talk.
Yeah, I'm not listening to anything you say. I'm just doing math in my head.
I know, right? Like, how old do you think she is?
Well, it's a little bit fuzzy, so you could pass for like 25.
There you go. I like that. I'll move a lot. It makes it a little bit blurry. And I have, I've authored 6 books. My publisher is Harvest House Publisher. It's a traditional publisher. My books are Moms Raising Sons to Be Men, If My Husband Would Change, I'd Be Happy, and Other Myths Wives Believe, The Marriage Mentor, Real Life Romance, and I have 2 ebooks out. One is called I Sleep with the Pastor. It's a devotional for pastors' wives. And another one is called A Christian Woman's Guide to Great Sex and Marriage. And all of those are available on Amazon or wherever your favorite book distributor is. And good. You can go to my website, noregretswoman.com, and it'll take you to find me, follow me. All those wonderful things are on that website. Lots of free resources on there, too.
Awesome. Good. I'm glad you shared that already. It was my last question, but I'm glad it became the first. Didn't want it to be.
But it's to get it out there.
Yeah, that's right. That's awesome. Perfect. You've clearly done this before. Okay. So, Rhonda, when your life maybe was busy when you had younger kids, how did you keep pursuing God when life was like crazy and there were diapers and there were school?
And overwhelming. It was overwhelming, and I actually homeschooled my 2 youngest ones. We live in the mountains, and California public schools are not that awesome, and so we homeschooled the younger 2. Texas schools were amazing, so they were in school here in Texas.
Interesting.
But between that, I had postpartum after my youngest child was born, and I was just overwhelmed. I remember being overwhelmed, but I remember when I wasn't the mom I hoped I would be. I remember thinking, I want to be a better mom. So I try to pull myself up by my bootstraps, try to be better, feel guilty that I wasn't better. You know, you lay in bed at night, and you're like, tomorrow I'm not going to lose my temper. Tomorrow I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to be a happy, joyful mom. But it's a very, very, you feel very ill-equipped for motherhood. Most people do. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed help. And so Steve was in youth ministry, and I was in ministry with him. And I looked around at the teens in our youth department, and I found the kids whose parents I wanted to emulate, the way they interacted with their spouse in marriage, the way their kids respected them. And I went to them, and I just wanted to be mentored by them. And, you know, Titus 2 calls the older women to teach the younger how to love their husbands and love their children. And God said that on purpose, because it is a journey woman apprenticeship program. And here's the thing. A lot of women that are my age think, oh, I didn't do it right. I wish I'd done things differently. So they don't step into the role of being a mentor. And yet, when you're older, you can look back with such clarity, and you don't get a do-over, but you can hand your do-over to the next generation if you're willing to be transparent, to be vulnerable about the things that you wish you had done differently, or the things that you're glad you did in a way that God used it to raise up your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I went to these women, and I said, hey, I need help. And what I love about these women is they were like, cool, join our Bible study. And I'm like, no, I don't need another Bible study. I need to be a better mom. And they said, just join us. Mm-hmm. So I was the only young mom in the Bible study. And it was actually a precept study. It was 5 hours of homework a week. And whoa. I'm like, you don't understand. I can't even think, right? And so one friend of mine, her name is Gail, she's like, just keep your Bible study open. Do as much as you can every day. So while I'd be nursing a baby, I'd do a little here or there, have it out on the coffee table or on the dinner table when I was making dinner. And I would just do one here, pick away at it. But when I went to these Bible studies, what I found was real women that were genuine and transparent, and they talked about what the Spirit was convicting them of or what they had learned that week. And I started, you know, the Bible says in Romans, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, back in the olden days, in the 1900s, there was no World Wide Web, so I wasn't listening to podcasts or following people on social media. But we watched talk shows. So I'd watch Oprah or different talk shows that would talk about being, you know, a better person or whatever, or somebody. But that didn't have the power to change me. But I found that as I started studying God's word, and Romans says, be not conformed to this world, which was watching those talk shows, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I found that my parenting became different.
my biblical worldview was overshadowing my own perception of things, and I became a different person. I became transformed as my mind was being renewed. And as the words that would come out of my mouth that I didn't want to come out, whether it was being a manipulative mom or being short-tempered or, you know, whatever with my husband, and being able to have the Holy Spirit stop me in my tracks and convict me and help me not be that person maybe that I was raised to be, the person, you know, a lot of times we think about, I don't want to be like my mom. But the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you're dwelling on the list of things you don't want to be, you're going to be those things because you're still dwelling on them. And so it's not thinking about, I don't want to be like this person in my life. I want to be different. You have to dwell on what the Word of God says. And as you let his word dwell in you richly, what will spill out of you is more Christ-likeness in your thought life, in your interaction with your children. It doesn't make you perfect. I was not perfect, but I was quick to ask my kids to forgive me. I was quick to, as I stayed washing in truth, things that you just want to cover over, like, oh, I didn't mean that. They know. The Holy Spirit won't let you get away with that, and it makes you come back. And if you, you know, I love this quote, it's in Moms Raising Sons to Be Men. Here's my book, Moms Raising Sons to Be Men.
Oh, yeah.
These are not my sons. I'll show you my boys. Oh. My Harvest House publisher does not put my book with, oh, I don't know if I can pull it up. But what I like about the quote in here is it says, forgiving people raise forgiving people. And if we want our kids to forgive us when we don't measure up to their expectations, then we're not going to.
Yeah.
And to cover with kindness and forgiveness when we lose our temper, or when we let them down, then we have to show them by our actions what it looks like to forgive. We have to humble ourselves before our husband and our children and ask forgiveness when we've wronged them. That's how you raise forgiving people. I mean, my kids, my girls will say, Mom was a little bit crazy, but we love her. I was a little bit crazy.
That's quite a compliment. They know you, they know that's okay that you're crazy.
Yeah. And here's an interesting thing. I come from a long line of women who hate their mom. They don't want to be with their mom. They don't want to spend time with their mom. My grandmother, I don't even know my great grandmother because my grandmother never wanted her around. My mom didn't want to spend time with her mom. The fact that my daughters want to even live in the same town that we live in, that want to fellowship with me, want to leave their kids with me, that's an act of God. That's God's grace breaking that heritage in my family. And it's not because I was such a good person. It's because as I pressed into loving Christ, his love spilled out over me into my kids. And God gave me an amazing gift of my daughters and my sons and their spouses wanting to be together and wanting to be with me and my husband. That's the benefit of being washed with the water of the word. And I talk to young moms all the time. They're like, I'm just too busy. Then you're too busy. If you're too busy to be in the word, if you're too busy to spend time in prayer. I mean, if you look at John chapter 17, the prayer that Jesus prayed for all of us, I think it takes 3 minutes to read it, maybe. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to spend hours in prayer, but the Bible says pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous one accomplishes much. So prayer and being in the word, memorizing scripture, meditating on truth. I know that I'm not the woman I would have been because of those valuable insights that I learned from godly mentors. So if I can pass anything on to you and to your young moms, it's that. Whether your husband's on board or not, whether you were married to a Christian man or not, you do what God's called you to do. Don't wait for him to step up. Maybe he's a believer, but he's just not the spiritual leader in the family. You can't pray for God to transform him. You can't pray powerfully for God to even bring your husband to repentance and true salvation if you're resenting him or if you're not keeping your heart pure so that your prayers can be powerful. Wow. So you do you and let the Holy Spirit do what he will do in your life. And I love the scripture that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. So falling in love with him through the pages of scripture, being mentored by other women, godly women who love him like that, that's the secret. That's the secret.
Wow. That's amazing. Woo, we could stop right here and I'd be chewing on that for days. But we're not going to stop here because I have more questions for you. Mm-hmm. So maybe I already know what you're going to say, but what has made the most long-term difference in your kids' faith? do you think? I mean, it's kind of hard to tell for sure. Obviously, we don't know their hearts. But from your limited perspective, what do you think has made the biggest difference?
Well, it's God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So God has done a work in my kids' lives by his grace alone. I can't attribute it to good parenting, but I will say this. In 18 years of youth ministry, it was easier for us to lead to Christ a child who'd been raised by drug addicts or ungodly parents than for us to reach a child who was in a Christian home, and I'll say Christian home, mm-hmm. by parents who were hypocrites. By parents who at church put on the show that they were happy and that everything was fine, but as soon as they get in the car and they leave church, they're bickering with each other, or they're talking about everybody else at church. I can't believe they let their kid wear that to church today, or the hypocrisy of someone, the Pharisaical lifestyle of a parent is a sure way to drive your children either away from the church that is where they will learn to grow in their faith and to love God and to learn how to share their faith. It'll drive them away from God because it gives them the wrong perspective of God. Or you'll raise up little Pharisees that think they're better than everybody else and we don't do what everybody else does. And either one is hypocrisy. And Jesus warned, beware of the hypocrisy of the, you know, your whitewashed sepulchers, he told the Pharisees. Beware of that. That is, if I could give you as moms, you know, there's all this, be real, everybody be real. And then they put their posts on social media, like, look at, I made dinner out of stuff I grew in my garden, and I sewed a dress for my daughter out of a pillowcase, and I have an Etsy store that you can buy the signs that I make, and I'm so happy, and I married my high school sweetheart, and look at us kissing, and we never fight, and life is perfect for us. And if your kids see that, and your kids know, that's hypocrisy. That's a lie. It doesn't mean you wear your heart on your sleeve. It doesn't mean you tell every single, you know, my kid did this, because there's also that when the kid's like, Mom, you're telling everybody that I, you know, that's the betrayal for your kids, too. But being genuine, being real, even if you're just saying, hey, we're struggling, pray for us. You don't have to tell all the details, you know, or I'm having a rough day, or hey, I'm super hormonal, you know, pray for me, whatever. Yeah. I just feel like when your kids see you be real, they will be real. And when they're struggling in their, when, you know, believing is this, because all of them have to come through a crisis of their own belief. They've been raised with it, but at some point it doesn't become theirs until the Holy Spirit brings them to a crisis of belief where they weigh out, is this true? Is this real? Is this what I want to devote my life to? And then another thing I would probably point out in moms raising sons to be men that I learned from godly mentors is don't be a people pleaser. There's a section in the book called People Pleasing Isn't Pleasing. And when my daughter Meredith was about 3 years old, we were after church one Sunday. And actually my friend Katie, her parents, the Palizzis, she's an equal friend of yours. And hi, Katie. She was a little girl in the church too. She was Meredith's friend. And Meredith was skipping around the church one Sunday after church, making noise. And we were trying to visit. And I kept shushing her, getting frustrated with her. And a couple in our church that he was in youth ministry at the time, and I had asked them to mentor us because I loved how their kids interacted with them. And I shushed Meredith, and he asked me, why do you care? Do you have a conviction about this? And I said, no, I just don't want her to do it. Well, why? And he kept pressing me until I said, I don't want people to think I'm a bad mom. And he said, don't ever, ever raise your children for what people think of you. And I got to tell you, I am a middle child. I am a people pleaser. I want everyone to think well of me. And I want, and he saved my kids from a lifetime of me dressing them to look the part and acting the way I thought people would expect them to act. And when I married Steve, I never meant to marry a pastor. He had gone to Bible college when I married him. He was in construction, and we always did youth ministry. That was super fun, but now he's a senior pastor, and he's been that for the last 20 years. I would have raised kids for what the church thought of their dad. I would have said, you can't talk in church like that. What do people think of your dad? I would have done that to my kids. I have an ebook out called I Sleep with the Pastor, and it's for pastors' wives. In fact, this month is October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I think the book is like $3.99.
Whoa.
It's a 52-week devotion. Awesome. for pastors' wives to walk through every week. I meet with them in those pages and help them get their heart right for this ministry. And one of the whole months is devoted to your relationship with your children. Another is to your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your church, and your relationship with God. So you're like, what could I do to bless my pastor? Bless his wife.
Yeah,
I mean, the book, $3.99, you can send it right in her email box, tell her you love her. And the reason it's called I Sleep with the Pastor is because I get my ministry is to the minister. Mm. And so when pastors' wives understand I'm called to minister to the minister, it is a unique ministry for those that are called. There's only a few of us on planet Earth, and we have to not worry about, well, I'm not working in the nursery, what do people think? Oh, I'm not helping with the potluck, what do people think? Mm. You do what your husband needs you to do to minister to him and to your family. You know, whenever we go to a new church, they're like, do you sing? Do you play the piano? Do you? And I'm like, I sing terribly. No, I don't play any instruments. And I worked in the nursery once, and a little boy broke his leg, and Steve told me I'm not allowed to be in there anymore. So, no.
Good story. That's a good story.
So, but I know when you know your calling, and when you're a mom, you know God's called you to this. This is not by accident you became a mom. However you got here, I was a diaphragm baby. My mom was only 17 when she had me. I was her second child. And poor kid just didn't know how to put a diaphragm in, and I'm here. And I could either spend the rest of my life going, they didn't even want me, I'm an accident. Or I can be like, God said, you will be here. And he made a way. And when you come to a place of understanding, God called you to this ministry of motherhood. He called you to it. Are you preparing yourself for that? Just like if he called you to deepest, darkest Africa, you wouldn't just shop for the cute clothes that fit in Africa. You'd learn the language.
Mm.
You'd study the scripture. You'd have verses memorized. So in the moment, in the marketplace, when you're sharing with someone, God would bring to mind that scripture that you need for that moment. That's the ministry of motherhood. God has called us to be so equipped with his word, because the word of God is what is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
When you not beat your kids over the head with scripture, but when scripture is within you and it comes out of you, the Spirit can use that to direct your children's path. Psalm 119, I think I have 58 verses memorized of that. My goal before I die is to memorize the whole passage. But, you know, it talks about how can a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed according to your word. Your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Hmm.
If you got little ones, you need to be helping them hide God's word in their heart. Whether their father is a believer or not, whether their father is guiding your family spiritually or not, they need to have God's word in them. Let it dwell in them richly. If there's a Wednesday night program at your church where there's scripture memory as part of it and they're winning awards and they're going to soccer so they can't go to that and they're doing dance or they're doing whatever, your kids may grow up and be the best soccer player or they may get awards for gymnastics. But if God's word's not hidden in their heart, what have you given them? That's not going to take them through life like the word of God. It will be there for the rest of their lives.
So do you have any suggestions for moms? Sorry, I interrupted you. Do you have any suggestions for moms who want to hide the word of God in their kids' hearts but aren't really sure where to start with that? It sounds so easy.
Okay, first and favorite. I know. And it can be. I'll tell you what. Okay, Steve Green, Hide Him in Your Heart, is a CD. It was a cassette back in the 1800s. Yes. And now they have the video that you can watch too on YouTube for free. And they're all in their 1980s hairstyle and outfits. It's kind of cute. But we put our kids to bed at night with the first, I only had the one CD. It was a cassette. I know they have more now, or they made more after that, but we only owned the one. And we played that every night when they went to bed.
Hmm.
And it's scripture set to music, straight up, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies, you know, do to others as you would have them do to you. It's the word of God, and it is in my kids' heart and mind. And I was just at Brandon's house, my son, who's the worship leader in LA. I went to watch his kids because him and his wife had a retreat they were doing. So I went to babysit, and they just took Ledger off of the Passy, and he's had the pacifier for almost 3 years, and they took it off the week before I came to babysit. I'm like,
yay!
Why?
Thank you.
But it was like he was on his last one, and it was like making a squeaky sound, and he wanted a new one, and they said, we're not going to buy you a new one, so it was the perfect timing.
Oh.
But he was just having such a hard time going to bed, and I told Brandon, you know, he's been self-soothing with that Passy. You got to give him something else. What if you played Steve Green's Hide Him in Your Heart. And my son's a musician. He's a worship leader. And he goes, yeah. So he downloaded, I think it was like $10 to do the digital version, and he put it on the little mini iPod thing, and he played it in Ledger's room, and it quieted him.
Hmm.
And it is the word of God that is transforming his little heart and mind. And so, yeah, start with music. Start with songs that are scripture-based, word-for-word scripture. And then involve them in Sunday school. Don't just go to church. Go to Sunday school. They'll memorize scripture in their classes. If they're little kids going to camp, when they go to youth camp, Steve and I spoke at youth camps for years, they memorize scripture to earn points for their team. When they're little, they memorize scripture and they earn trophies. I mean, when we understand you're handing, and I'll be honest with you, ladies, you're raising kids in a generation that looks nothing like the generation that I raised my mm-hmm. children. Because the day is fast approaching for the return of Jesus Christ. We have to prepare these children for God only knows the life they're going to live that is not going to look anything like the life that we lived. And it's the word of God. I think of Daniel, mm-hmm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they ended up in Nebuchadnezzar, I think, was the king. And they wouldn't eat the king's food. And everybody else did, all the other Israelites. But Daniel's like, we're not going to eat it. Let us eat the food God said. He was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And he took a stand. But someone equipped that young man before he became a hostage at 17 to know God's word and to stand, even when it would have been easier to just go along with the crowd and not stand out. And God blessed Daniel and those young men. We got to give them scripture.
Okay, just a minute.
There's a child.
Yeah.
That was a mommy book.
You can always tell. Right. No, Jackson, go back up. I'll be done in 3 minutes. Okay?
Hi, Jackson.
Yes. Oh, cool. I'm going to come and look at it. So he's been decorating his room with beads and chenille wires, whatever those things are called, pipe cleaners. He's just been taping them to the wall everywhere.
Ew.
This is how a five-year-old decorates. It works for me. I mean, it comes off if we need it to.
Yes.
He's super happy with it. It's like pink and purple and blue and green. Oh, anyway, it's been really awesome. So before we wrap it up, because we are actually almost at 30 minutes, he must have like a little radar in his head. Mommy's almost done. She's got to be almost done.
I know. He's like, come on, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. So do you have any last-minute encouragement or advice for us for... I mean, you have given a lot of encouragement already. I mean, this has been super packed. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it multiple times. but if there's anything else that you were like, I really wanted to share this before I left, this is your time.
You know, a few things that I'll just say are in Moms Raising Sons to Be Men. I talk about my son Brandon had epilepsy. He was diagnosed with that when he was 6 years old, and tell the story of how God used that to make him into a musician, but how I struggled with that. I was so, we had 200 teenagers in our house every Wednesday night coming to Christ, and God wouldn't heal my son, and I really struggled with wanting to feel betrayed by God. But God used it to raise up my son to be a worship leader. I wanted to hear the crowd glory in Brandon's accomplishments as an athlete. God got me out of the way, and he said, I'm going to raise up the crowd to glory in my son's accomplishments in worship.
Wow.
So there's a lot of, isn't that something? If you go to my website, there's links to two audio interviews with Dr. James Dobson on Moms mm-hmm. Raising Sons to Be Men. They can listen to Steve and I do The Marriage Mentor. He wrote that book with me. There's videos that go along with that book that are free on my website.
Awesome.
And there's also a link to Focus on the Family that Steve and I did an interview with them for that. My book, Real Life Romance, is my favorite. It's just a bunch of love stories. It's delightful. It's a fun read, but it also just celebrates God's sovereignty and knitting hearts together in romance. Mm-hmm. All my kids' love stories are in there. They're in the back of the book. A super fun book. You can go to my website, click on the book, Real Life Romance, and you can watch about... maybe 12 or 14 of the couples from the book telling their love story. Steve and I are on there telling ours. Steve talks more about his 1969 Mach 1 than he does about our love story, but it's fun. And if you're trying to get your husband to read a marriage book, this one Steve wrote in gray boxes, a little tiny portion in each chapter, and said, dude, all you got to read is this. This is the cliff notes of what your wife is reading. And if you still can't get your husband to read the book, you can just watch the videos together. My husband is just like, the first video, he's like, dude, I don't want to make these videos any more than you want to watch them. But I care about your marriage. We care about your marriage. So here we go. And I am so head over heels in love with Steve Stoppy. I'm a Stoppy stalker. Mm-hmm. Follow me on Facebook, on Instagram's camera. Yeah. I hang out, Twitter. I'm mostly on Insta if that's where you want to find me. But if you go to my website, noregretswoman.com, mm-hmm. lots of free resources, all the links to follow me on my social media. I write for crosswalk.com, so I regularly put up links for articles I've written for them.
Awesome.
Yeah, just connect with me. I would love to hear from you. Let me know you watched on this.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time. It's been really great to have you. Hope you have a fantastic Monday.
Thanks so much. You too. Until Jackson,
see you on
Facebook. Sharing his mommy.
Oh, yes. And well, the other boys have been suspiciously quiet. I need to go find out what they've been up to. But. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Mom Mentor. To join the conversation live, join us in the Hope Grown Faith Facebook group at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each Monday. See you there.